This is GLPBC 2012, home to the raw feed live and rapid fire topic discussions. You can listen to our shows via live stream by navigating your browser to godlikeproductions.com, or you can listen to our archives located at podcast.godlikeproductions.com. You can also find us on iTunes. GLPBC shows now in its third year are produced in our live web-based auditorium where listener interaction and participation is encouraged. We are raw, uncensored, where humans from around the globe can discuss, debate, learn, laugh, cry, get angry, and to speak freely about concerns and issues that affect us all. Join Phenomenon, Ragman, Hubnuts, JDO, Jay, 2342, Kingman, Art, Osiris, Isis 7, Yobo Discus, and Libertine in BC, because GLPBC, like a poker hand, gives it to you straight. Enjoy the show.
Good evening, everyone in the auditorium, and those of you listening on the live streams.
And we got all echo.
Echo.
We have Ooh. Echo.
Gone now.
Okay, anyway, so Orlay Tates didn't show up, so we brought Dallas Goldberg in. Dallas, what's up, man?
Nothing much. Just released the second part of the video today, so everybody can go check that out.
23.
Nice.
What do you think about really not showing up on us?
Okay, well, I always like to give people the benefit of the doubt, and but I do know that Finn did everything as far as making sure that she knew the time and the place, so I don't know what happened. I'd like to hear from her first because Fenn did confirm it multiple times with her. Hey, you know, that's okay because we got Dallas on here now. And it's if you ask me, this is going to be even better. So, Dallas, dude, I'll tell you what, man. The other night when you were on here, you're so fast sometimes. Even for me, as fast as I talk sometimes, I had a tough time keeping up with you. And I really appreciate your effort into uncovering all of these actors at the grand scale, you know, in the media and in the news. And, you know, when I was younger, I saw that movie Wag the Dog and, you know, where Robert De Niro and those guys played those scenes and created war scenarios to prevent certain things getting out in the news or making the front page that they didn't want people to see. So it got hushed up. And, you know, I don't agree with everything you say, man, but I do certainly see a lot of these things as being just right in our face. And, you know, I would like to hear some of these new people that you've uncovered recently and about this new video that you just released. If you'd tell us more about it. And also, let's get into, you know, the guest that was supposed to be on here tonight, Orly. You say that she's somebody else and she's just playing this out as kind of like a controlled opposition. And, you know, man, it certainly seems like almost everything could be controlled opposition. You know, even the majority of the conspiracy theorists out there, as far as the ones that are considered icons in the industry, you know, they're nothing but paid actors. And there are still, I think, select few, you know, like especially us here on GLP, that are just amateurs, you know, and just really want to get the truth out there. We're not getting paid anything as actors or, you know, any other type of organization. We just have a true passion for getting to the truth. But let's talk about this video, man. Give us the scoop on what you uncovered.
Sure. Yeah, I'll try to speak a little bit slower, but, you know, that's my raised in Philadelphia, so we talk a little fast up there. But, yeah, the things that I've uncovered that I've put out in this video today, you can go to – actually, my YouTube channel is back up now. It was up for a day, and then they killed it again. Now it's back up again, and it looks like it's up to stay now. So you can go to YouTube /user/ Dallas Goldbug. Or just type in Dallas Goldbug and just avoid all the haters out there. But you'll see on that video, it then takes it from the what we were talking about when it comes to Hitler being actually Quentin Roosevelt, and that point it goes into some other characters that he played and actually the background of his family, of where he got this idea from. And from what I've been able to dig up in the archives, and again, we're talking photographic evidence because the names that they use on the, you know, the birth certificates or whatever they have in the family trees, you'll see that a lot of that's fake because of the fact that, you know, they didn't have driver's license back then. They didn't have really forms of ID that we do today that we can sort of at least check a little bit better than they could back then. You were who you said you were, and unless you could get to the, you know, handwritten records of your family coming over. So they had an advantage back in those days where they could just basically and this is what they always – it seems like they've been doing a lot in those days. They would commit suicide, and then they would take on another role. And we see that Teddy Roosevelt had a brother named Elliot, and Elliot committed suicide. Apparently he was an alcoholic and depressed. And then the next thing you know, you see Taft, that is Teddy's running – as Teddy's vice president. And when you look at Taft and alongside of Teddy, they are definitely related. Absolutely have to be related. There's no way around it. And when you look at the childhood photographs of Elliot, you can see that that's Taft. Now, Taft also plays another role. If you put him alongside of J.P. Morgan, you'll see that that's J.P. Morgan. And the reason J.P. Morgan had a rule that he didn't want people to photograph him because he said he had a disease that had a basically a skin problem on his nose. Well, that was the fake nose that he had on because of the theatrical makeup that they wore. And when you look at the photographs, you can see it's totally him. So now what does that mean? Well, that means that during that time, Teddy was basically credited with called trust busting. And basically what that was the laws that he put into legislation were monopoly laws to stop basically, if you know the truth about it now, to stop his competitors from being able to get bigger than he was. And at the same time, you know, he creates the Federal Reserve. He creates a lot of this, a lot of these things that basically we look at as, you know, the problem that we see. And then on top of that, we see his family.
Sorry to interrupt. Well, we see, who created the Federal Reserve then?
J.P. Morgan. No, J.P. Morgan and, you know, the whole group that we hear about supposedly created it. But, you know, when you see that the J.P. Morgan is Roosevelt's brother, then, you know, you sort of understand what's going on. Because then one of his sons, Quentin, he dies in a plane crash, gets shot down in Germany when he was age 20. Well, he turns out to be Joseph Kennedy. Now, at that point, you got two families that are massive families that then, you know, branch off. And you see one of his daughters is the one that becomes Lilith Carter. So there's the three families right there that were the ones that branched out, and basically they took over our entire government, and they've been basically the foundation of our government ever since. So you can see where there's a problem, because then they, of course, they promote from within, and we didn't even know that they're family members, and they're, you know, giving like Joseph Kennedy gets the FDR, his cousin, he gets put in as the chairman of the SEC. So if people knew that that was his cousin, it wouldn't happen. So we see a lot of problems here, but then all their competitors, of course, are bound up by the monopoly laws. So they basically went out and just totally conquered all the corporations at the time. Now, the bad thing, here's the really, really big thing that I found. With Joseph Kennedy, he partnered up with another one of his family members, and Carnegie, and they invested in Bethlehem Steel. They basically were the largest steel producers of that time. Well, you can see his cousin being FDR and then his brother being Hitler creating this war and keeping that war, extending that war out as long as they can. The wars need steel. They made billions off the war because of the steel. So you have that, and then you have them financing both sides of it. It was just – it's a big mess when you look at the actual real true picture, and that's what I've put out there for everybody to start digging into with this last video.
Well, isn't it amazing when you research this stuff and you follow the money, how it really does go down to a select group of individuals? It's insanity. And let me ask you this too. You know, the research that I've done with the corporations – there's really just maybe 6 to 8 corporations approximately that control the majority of the foods and the beverages. And also there's a handful of corporations that control the media. And then you have the banking families, you know, that you can look back into lineages and see them go, you know, centuries back. But let me ask you this. Are all of these people intertwined into these same few families like you're talking about, like the Kennedys and the Roosevelts? And also, why does it seem like the Kennedys have had such a bad set of circumstances with, at least what we think? It looks like they've all been assassinated. The John F. Kennedy was assassinated, his son was assassinated, his brother was assassinated. Are all of those, do you think, possible, straw man scenarios too? Or is that the real deal?
Well, you're talking to somebody here that, I was involved in two best-selling Kennedy assassination books, so I've done a lot of work on the Kennedy assassination. So the next thing I'm about to tell you is very difficult for me to say, but, I can't not say what I see and what apparently is the facts. If we look at John F. Kennedy and we put him alongside of Carter. Now, remember what I just said about Kennedys and Carters. They're not really Kennedys and Carters. They're really, they're Roosevelts. And basically, when you see that same family gene, when you put those two alongside of each other, and this is what kills me, put also the first ladies alongside of each other. And this is what I did in this video. I put video of Rosalind Carter and of Jackie Kennedy. You can see that they're the same person. You can see that Carter and JFK are the same person. When you do the ear analysis, when you do the teeth analysis, when you just look at them physically, they're the same person. And that then makes you go, well, what happened and who got killed? Well, I interviewed all the witnesses that were still alive, all the doctors that worked on Kennedy. Personally, I interviewed them, and I videotaped it, and Grodin and I produced a video documentary out of it. So basically what that means to me is they've either scammed me or something happened where they did shoot somebody and they saw somebody get shot, but it wasn't the person, because we do know that the Zapruder film was doctored, and not just the missing frames, but, seriously, there is some big problems with it when it comes to the location of the car. And there's a researcher by the name of Jack White that did some very good work on that. So there's a very probable chance that the Zapruder film is faked. It's a fraud. So with that being said, it comes down to, these people either scam me or they put on some type of Hollywood show. But, it's just the facts are when you look at those photographs and you do the ear analysis, they are the same person. And then now that you know who they really are, then it makes sense. Because we can follow that line.
And another thing, too, that I wanted to bring up as far as just international politics and especially the global scene back World War II era, like Stalin and Mao and then you had Hitler and then you had, just these different factions. But it seemed like weren't they all meeting together, behind closed doors? And you hear rumors in the conspiracy forums about, they were all actually basically related. So do you think also at the international scale, these people are related? And for example, Iran right now in this, supposed we're going to war with them. Do you think that, Ahmadinejad or whatever his name is, I know I said that incorrectly, but you know who I'm talking about. Is he also an actor and just a part of this wag the dog scenario?
Well, let's put it this way. Joseph Kennedy had a daughter named Rosemary Kennedy. Now, she was basically, the legend has it that she had a lobotomy and she was basically disabled for the rest of her life. Well, when we see the picture of her and we see that she was actually presented in Buckingham Palace, we can see that the comments that were made during that time, that people that met her said, well, she's not mentally handicapped. Well, when you look at her face, that's the face of Margaret Thatcher. So you can see how it was. They're implanted now in the European scene in the UK. So then we see, there's a clip that I put on a video that has a RT reporter, and they're talking about Saddam Hussein and was it right to kill him, whatever. When we look at that reporter, that's Prince William. So, we have royalty now acting as fake news reporters, or are they just all fake, period? Because I would think that that's a little bit against the rules for, royalty to be dressing up as a fake reporter and giving us some fake news on, a known Greenberg channel. So there's concerns there. There's very big concerns there. Now, when it comes to Ahmadinejad, I haven't been able to find anything, about him that I can see that throws a red flag. But then again, what we're seeing when it comes to America, we're seeing usually people that look like Americans as the actors. So I don't know who their actors are over there, or, you know, who are their famous people that they have. You know, and the same thing with like India, Bollywood and all that. I don't know who their people are. They may as well have the same thing happening in their case. But I also show that Australia definitely has the people that are involved in it. And one is their prime minister and their past prime minister are actors. And they happen to be from the United States here. So I put that in the video as well.
Yeah, and I've also seen news articles where – I'm sorry, not news articles, news reports and videos where, you know, you'll have these high politicians saying the exact same thing that was said 3 years ago or 4 years ago in a different country. So it's like they're using the exact same scripts. And that really opened my eyes to, you know, what is going on here as far as the global scale. You'll see a news report from, you know, Germany or, you know, France or, you know, even Iraq or Afghanistan or anywhere in the world. And the people that are up there it seem like actors. And I remember when there was this, you know, huge flu scare about the swine flu, and they were trying to freak everybody out to go get their, you know, their happy vaccines and to go get the Tamiflu. And I remember this guy on CNN that was, you know, like I don't even know if they called him a doctor or whatever, but they tried to portray him as like this, you know, medical guy that knew what he was talking about. And the way that he was presenting, like, you know, oh yeah, just take the Tamiflu. It's good for you. You just, you know, put it in your nose and shoot it real quick. And oh yeah, you'll love it. And he didn't say that exactly, but you get my point. I mean, he literally seemed like a freaking car salesman. And, you know, he was trying to sell you something. I was like, man, do you want to buy the extended warranty with that vaccine? You know, it's crazy, man. And the further you dig into it, I'm really glad you've got, you know, the time and the resources to do this kind of stuff. Cause, you know, once again, even though I don't agree with all of these connections that you're making, I've clearly seen some of them, at least in my eyes. And, man, that's, you know, fascinating. And then when you talked, in our last interview about how these people have the technologies, like the same type of cameras, you know, for the past 100 years and different papers and stock papers that have been around for hundreds of years, so they can counterfeit things. And when they're checked, you know, even if it's checked by a third party, you know, to see if it's authentic, it will come back as authentic. So it just makes you question everything even more. And even like you said, some of these conspiracy theorist veterans, you've opened their eyes to new possibilities. But let me ask you, it's good to have criticism on everything, but what do you think is really going on? I mean, who do you think that that anything is real? I mean, how far are you taking it?
Well, I didn't actually answer your last question about the Churchill and all those people. Let me answer that real quick. If you look at that history, those people, that you see Churchill and I'm trying to think, Stalin and all those people, actually FDR was the person that picked those people, and he also picked our generals, basically, and that's an admitted thing in our history books. So by him picking the people like that, of course he's picking characters, and basically they're basically just filling in the character roles. So yeah, there's definitely a problem with that. And when you see what actually happened when they all got together after the war, what was the thing that they created? It was the UN. That was the whole game plan behind, after, you know, they made all this money with the war, and, you know, they set the stage for that. Then they also built the UN into it. So then you see that drive towards that one world government, that one world monetary system, and all that other stuff that we hear about. And we can see that push and that drive today. Now, when it comes to what was this recent question you just said, it was what do I think? What do I think is really happening, or how much of it is real?
Right.
I try to tell people this. I don't know what I don't see and what I can't, you know, put my hands on. So if I were to treat it as being asked, if I was in a court and asked a question about something, I would have to be honest and say, you know, I don't know if it's real or not, because I haven't been able to see it for myself. So the next best thing that you have really are the photographs. Now, if you can get a wide arrangement of photographs from different sources, then you can sort of get an idea if they're authentic or not, and then you can go from there. So that's the only thing that I can see that are really the valuable things to look at, because people lie, books lie, records are forged, but the photographs are a little bit harder to, you know, to forfeit. So, well, when we look at history, you know, and they didn't think, these people that archived our history, they weren't looking at it as, you know, a cover-up. But actually, the people that were involved in it, say the Roosevelts and all that, and the Kennedys, you'll notice that some of the Kennedys were the ones that were in charge of the museums. They were, you know, put up onto the chair of the board at all the big museums. Well, I wonder why. Well, it's just to make sure that nothing else slipped out. So, you know, when they're controlling, when they're the gatekeeper of their own history, well, then, you know, we have a problem. But fortunately, you know, I was happened to see the photographs, and it clicked, and I made the connection. And once one connection was made, then the dominoes just start falling. It's very simple, because you can trace that person and that whole lineage and what they're doing. And then by the time you know who they are, you can see the deals that they're doing, the oil deals, the steel deals, all these other deals that they're doing with other people. And then you go, oh, well, that's a family member. Then it totally makes sense at that point. So what's real now? I'll tell you, when – put it this way. If there's one – government official that we find is an actor, and the rest of them don't jump on it and expose that person, or, you know, get the Justice Department involved, then I have serious doubts with the authenticity of the rest of the government that's sitting there and knows and have been told that that person is fake. And for one, for example, is Carol Maloney, which we were talking about after the show. And the Carol Maloney is the JonBenet Ramsey, Patsy Ramsey. You know, it's just, you look at her and that's her. And then you can follow that by, you know, her – another role that she plays is Dominique Strauss-Kahn's wife, and his daughter happens to be the same person that looks a lot like JonBenet and Lady Gaga. And you see them playing that role as mother and daughter again. So, you know, that Carol Maloney right there, if they don't jump on that, then there's something definitely wrong. And I have to question the rest of them.
Sure, sure. And you know what? I mean, I agree with you. If you are real, a true, if you join the government for the right reasons, which should be to help people, to help the system, you know, to literally make the world a better place, as cheesy as that sounds, and you find out somebody in the system is actually an actor or a plant or, you know, somebody that's really shouldn't be there, okay? And you don't say anything about it. Well, you know, there's usually a couple of reasons for that. You know, one, maybe you fear losing your position as a particular politician, and that, you know, whatever you are. Two, maybe they're blackmailing you. Three, maybe you're paid off. You know, so there's other scenarios into that. So, you know, clearly any of those would be a bad thing. And
sure.
But you know, I'll tell you what, man. When you put some of these things together, and like, for example, Eddie Murphy, he plays all sorts of different characters in his movies. And, you know, they put millions and millions of dollars into these movies and into the costumes and the makeup artists. And I can tell when it's Eddie Murphy, 99% of the time, no matter, you know, how much makeup they put on him, I can tell that's him. I don't need to look at the earlobe, but, you know, just bang, I know that it's him. I'm pretty good at picking people out if I see, you know, two pictures side by side. I'm certainly not the best, but, you know, some of these claims that you're making, I'm just having a real tough time, you know, seeing how is it so much better that, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, or even now, that these guys have such better techniques to hide themselves versus Hollywood. And you know, it's almost like, I certainly agree that in politics, you've got your actors and your scenarios. And I think 90 something percent of it is acting and pre-determined scenarios, to create certain reactions with individuals and, you know, to create new laws or sell new products or to push certain agendas. I absolutely agree with you there. But, you know, sometimes if you want to see something, you'll see it. I mean, what do you say to the naysayers that really just, I mean, let me just ask you this first. Why don't you use facial recognition software in conjunction with your naked eyes, you know, with what you see? I mean, don't you think that would add more validity to it?
No, and here's the reason why. When it comes to automated software, I mean, and you look at the studies, there's a large error ratio that goes involved with that because of the fact that you don't have the person sitting in front of you in a controlled environment in a studio. Now, if you have two subjects sitting there where you can, you know, take that perfect shot with the perfect POV, you know, the perfect lighting and everything else is great, then you can feed that into a computer and you can create your database and you can go from there. But from what we're doing, you know, we don't know the lens, the focal point on that lens. We don't know, you know, the point of view. We don't know the lighting. We don't know the makeup. There's so many different things that can go into it. And plus, see, this isn't like say a home movie of, you know, you in your backyard at a party and, you know, the FBI is watching you and whatnot. They have you videotaped. That's a, you know, a real life situation where then they take that tape and they can analyze it for audio and they can do all the different sorts of things. When we take these tapes or these videos that we have, we are, you know, we don't know where they've come from when it comes to the post-production, and we don't know, you know, how many times they had maybe done 30, 40, 50 takes to get that one shot, to get that one scene right. So, you know, they have all these advantages that look to us like, you know, oh, it's just a real live, you know, shoot, when they could have taken all day to do that one scene just to make sure that they got that perfect angle where you can't really recognize that it's Eddie Murphy. So, you know, the other thing you just mentioned about Eddie Murphy is the fact that the facial recognition that you have in your mind of Eddie Murphy, you know what he is because it's burnt in your brain what Eddie Murphy looks like. So you're more likely to recognize, you know, him. But if I were to say, you know, Arsenio Hall, well, maybe that's a little bit less. You know, you've seen him in some of the movies with Eddie Murphy. But, you know, there's been probably a lot of movies that he's been in that you maybe didn't recognize him in. And that's the whole thing. How do you know if, you know, you don't recognize him? So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I like the last point you made there. How do you know if you don't recognize them? I mean, you
exactly.
Can't.
Yeah, exactly. They've done their job. Yeah, because, I mean, there's been a lot of, like, cameos that, you know, George Harrison did a couple cameos in The Life of Brian and all that. And unless you really are looking for him, he's standing right there looking right at you in the one of the scenes, in the group crowd scenes. But, you know, I mean, that's George Harrison. People should know who that is. But, you know, when we look at the people in history, like the Roosevelts and all that, we're also talking about a time frame where a lot of facial hair was in style. So, you know, we're missing a lot of the facial landmarks that would normally we would have today. So we can't really use that. So the other thing that we have to do is we have to look at supportive evidence that has to do with their, you know, their family members and all the other different aspects of that event that then add up to that person being who we say they are. And that this is the thing that people don't realize what I'm talking about when it comes to these family members here. And the fact, you know, they cherry pick the individuals that I'm talking about, and say Orly Tates is one of them. When they don't realize that when I say Orly Tates is Ellie Vole, they go, okay, well, you know, there's a lot of people that look like a lot of people. No, that's not the point, because, you know, Orly Tates is doing something that, of course, her sisters are involved in, and, you know, her cousins are involved in, and you see this whole support staff around that one person. And if you know that they're family members, then you can make those connections and see that it's not just a lookalike, it's a whole family doing this. And then you can see that she is Susan Lindauer, and then you'll see that they're both on RT and on Press TV channel. And then when you look at Press TV, you'll see a bunch of the other ones. You'll see Ellie's niece, Arden Vole, so as one of the reporters.
Well, Dallas, you know something?
Dallas,
let me just chime in for a second, because, you know, I'm beginning to believe that you're onto something here, because when I spoke with this woman, Orly Tates, seriously, the woman sounded like she smoked a friggin' bong. No lawyer would conduct themselves in this manner. You know what I'm saying? It just, something
absolutely
was not right with this woman at all.
Well, I can give you one thing absolutely positive that you can identify Orly Tates with. And I don't know if she still has her photograph up on her website, but on her headshot, if you look right above her top lip, right across her philtrum, underneath her nose, you'll see that there's a horizontal scar, a very fine scar. Now, that scar is you can see it. It's clear as day. It goes from one side of the mouth to the other side. Now, when you look at Ellie Vole, the person that I say she is, when she smiles, she has – you can see the scar, the wrinkle right there. So, I mean, it's a obvious a giveaway right there, and it's a very particular scar. So, you know, at that point, if people don't want to believe me, that's fine. But then there's so many other aspects to that family that are supporting roles when it comes to this situation that's what I want people to really look at. And then they can say, oh, okay, well, you know, maybe I didn't see that, but four or five of the other people that are in that scene are the same family member. So it's got to be them, you know.
I'd also like to – 23, let me just chime in and then I'll mic down. I want to know – I want to see what Dallas's thoughts are on this. I had a thread today about As a matter of fact, I think it was a Yahoo link where they're implying that the Mega Millions was rigged. And it's made me think of the John Travolta movie from the 90s called Lucky Numbers. I'm beginning to wonder if, you know, has anybody really met anybody? Let's just say somebody in your town allegedly, you know, won the lottery. Does anyone actually seek them out or, you know, see who they are, if they are real? This was an awful lot of money. And for somebody to make this complaint that, hey, you know, there's something wrong. I bought all these tickets and take a look. You know, something is grossly wrong here. I'm just wondering if this is just a way for them to another way for them to loot the system and create people that allegedly won the lottery. But meanwhile, it's actually them looting.
Well, I can tell you this for a fact. About a year and a half ago, someone contacted me, and she was in, I believe it was North Carolina, and she was concerned that she thought that she saw the same people that were winning the lottery over and over again, you know, about a month or 2 months apart from each other. So she went to the lottery website and pulled down the list of people with the pictures, and she said, could I take a look at it? So I looked at it, and on that list, and I can only speak for this one town factually because I know because I looked at the list, there was about 10 to 15% of the individuals that for over that past year that had won were, I'd say, four or five of the same individuals just repeated over and over again. So they had – and they changed their look with a different disguise, but you could see when you put them side by side, you could make the connection and, you know, the different name. But then you put five or six of these people, the same person together with, you know, this one's wearing a hat, this one's not wearing a hat, and wearing sunglasses, so-and-so. You can see that, okay, there's a scam going on in this town. Now, does that mean they're all scams? I can't say that for sure. But I can say definitely this one town, this one city, there was a problem. Now, if there's a problem there, could it be done elsewhere? Absolutely. I mean, it's a given that there's going to be somebody that's going to try to cheat the system if they can cheat the system and get away with it. So, you know, I would hope that they wouldn't do it, but, you know, let's be honest. There's going to be somebody that's going to try to steal. Now, I remember back when I was a kid, they had a scam that was going on where they would put a little bit of Elmer's glue on the outside of one of the balls that they didn't want to go up into the chute, and it would just weight it down just enough where that ball wouldn't make it up into the chute, and they could rig it that way. And it got caught, and I can't remember what year it was, but it was when I was a child because I remember watching it and was just shocked. But from that point on, I was like, I'm never playing the lottery again, you know, I'm never even thinking about it. And I haven't really, except for a few times. But so, yeah, I mean, the get-rich-quick schemes, the lottery, who knows? You know, I don't know anybody that's won, but that doesn't mean anything.
Thanks, Finn. You know, that's definitely a good question, Finn. I mean, all of those hundreds of millions of dollars that are supposedly given out to, you know, people that go out and spend, you know, X amount of money on lottery tickets, wouldn't that be a great way to milk the system and never really give the money back? Or when they do just small amounts, you know, small lotteries here and there, but the real big jackpots, they, you know, they put the money and funnel it into like, you know, black budget projects or whatever. You know, very, very good question. You know,
but I mean, also 23, just take a look at, you know, in one of them just recently, somebody did a lottery pool at their place of employment. And if you just read the thread, okay, they turned around, they said, oh, sorry, you know, I'm not going to share it. I picked those numbers myself. One, you already know people are going to sue your ass, okay? You just don't do something like that. Contract, no contract, you just don't do something. You know, these people are going to be pissed and, you know, they're going to beat the shit out of you. You just don't do that. I think that the media just, you know, created that because I've been watching the race wars with Zimmerman. And, you know, I think it was a black woman. You know, they had her a big ass picture in the link. It was just like, wow, could it get any bigger? You know, I'm watching how they're, you know, reporting. And media is not reporting news anymore. You know, they're manufacturing it. And if you just take a look at how they're writing articles, like NBC, the thread that Jay had, NBC cut out like half the crap that was allegedly on the Zimmerman tape. And they got caught and Fox News, you know, pointed it out. You know, you just got to see how they're creating their news and they're focusing in on certain things. So I really believe that they're looting the system and they're finding a way around you know, going about it in a nefarious way. I really don't believe that these people actually – 900 million would have been the amount if nobody would have won it. Now, I really want to know, where are these three people? Sure, you could say they want their privacy, hire an attorney or something, but I really like to see – they're going to buy a boat. They're going to go take a trip around the world. You're not going to see these people in the news after this.
Right.
You know, what you just said – is really makes a lot of sense. And I try to tell people this when they see a news story when it comes to, let's say, an accident and somebody actually by their own fault damaged somebody else's property, ran something over, whatnot. Now, or killed somebody, let's put it that way. Now, if the reporter's there and he's reporting on that issue, they have to be they can't release people's names. They can't do anything that could jeopardize any type of court case that could arise out of that. So for them to sit there and, you know, a reporter to be standing there saying names of a person and saying how this went down and who's at fault and who's responsible, I can tell you this for, you know, from my personal experience. I had a situation a long time ago in Dallas here where I actually used a piece of software, LimeWire, and I got some top secret documents off of a government machine. Didn't hack, didn't do anything, did everything legally with the software. I took it to a friend of mine who was a reporter. They verified it, and we did a big story on it here in WFAA. But the lawyers, when I talked to them, they said, look, you didn't do anything wrong, but we want to make sure that, you know, you don't get sued or the government doesn't come after you, so you can only say blah, blah, blah. And they limited to what I could say, even though I didn't do anything wrong. So for them to report a story and give you names and give you details of an event where there is going to be a lawsuit, say like the Jared Loughner thing, where you see the you know, the police chief coming out and saying all these things about his background and basically poisoning the jury, you have to really question that. There's no way that the legal team of a newscasting agency would allow that to go out on air and take the risk of getting sued civilly by somebody that now you've ruined their case by you leaking somebody something that was, you know, a fact, but you still leaked it and ruined that piece of evidence for their case. So you have to really look at the news and go, I really seriously doubt a lot of the things that I see on it. And it's upwards of 60 to 70% of the stuff that I see on the nightly news that I go, there's no way. It's not real. It can't be. There's no way.
Yeah. You know, I was kind of thinking, too, you're probably familiar with the MK programs that have openly been admitted that were in like the late 50s and the 60s and the 70s with, you know, high concentrations of LSD and different traumatic events. They would create dual personalities, multi-personalities, and also, when you get into hypnosis, if you can get a, you know, somebody that's a somnambulist that can go into really deep levels of hypnosis, they can actually change eye colors and get different formations on their body. There's been tons of scientific articles on people that have multi-personality, like the real multi-personality people that when they go from personality A to personality B, they can have, you know, different colored eyes, different scars on their bodies and all sorts of things, that aren't, compared to the, you know, personality A. And then also, like, you've heard reports of people that will be drunk. They'll have like a 0.20 alcohol content, the personality A, and then they go to B and they're completely sober. So with some of these, you know, actors that you're uncovering or, you know, possibly uncovering, and they play these particular roles, and like you say, it's almost like they sell their souls to be a certain person as a straw man in real life, but behind closed doors there's somebody completely different. You know, maybe that's how they get away with it, and they're so good at being somebody else. Is there a part of, you know, some type of mind control program where they'll have split personalities, and they'll go from personality A to personality B and play somebody completely different, and they really think they are that personality? Have you done any research into that?
Well, here's one thing I'll say, and you know, I don't mean to. Please don't take this as, you know, me just being any, you know, anything other than just, you know, we're discussing this. What you just said, I really have a hard time believing a lot of those stories that you said, because, well, you said they're articles. So we really, you know, if we look at them, you know, the way we're looking at all this, that article could have been lied. It could have been a lie, and it's basically a plant. Because remember the movie Sybil was supposedly based on a real person, and you know a lot of doctors and all that based a lot of their stuff on this person Sybil, and it was in textbooks and all over the place. And come to find out, I think 3 or 4 years ago they admitted that it was fake. It wasn't even a real person. So you know if you're talking about the alcohol in the body, I would like to see anybody that can get around, you know, the physical chemistry of the body by, you know, a mind trick. I really have a hard time believing those things. But now I do believe that, you know, people of course suppress memories when they're, you know, they go into the safe place when things happen that are traumatic, and that's a known thing. Of course the fight or flight syndrome, when you black out basically and you don't realize what you're doing and your body takes over. So there's definitely things like that. But when it comes to mind control, to the point of, you know, dance puppet dance type of mind control, and the mind control of basically what the TV is, and that's basic conditioning. Definitely conditioning, absolutely. I mean, we are in a situation that we are in today because of the TV and because of the conditioning for years and years and years, and that's what I'm trying to break people away from. But when it comes to them actually mind controlling somebody and saying, you know, you're going to go kill this person and whatever they've associated with a traumatic sin, whatever, and making them go into a different personality or a different mode, MK Ultra type of stuff, I really have a hard time believing it. And I have all the Senate hearing books when it comes to the MK Ultra and the COINTELPRO stuff that was printed by the government, and I bought from the government, so the books are bound and it's from them. But I have a hard time believing, since I know what I know now, why would they admit to things like that? Why? We're only told what they want us to know. So it goes back to that point where we were saying the other day after the show, I said, it would be just like you going to your boss on your lunch break and saying, hey, boss, would you mind if I go, you know, work for a competition for 15 minutes on my lunch break? You get fired. Now, why would they even tell us one little ounce of the truth? They won't, because that undermines what they're doing. It undermines that corporate dollar that they've spent in to create this syndrome and create this conditioning. So,
well, let me stop you right there for a second.
Sure.
Just for a second, mm-hmm. Just to interject. If you look at it as all they care about is the corporate dollar and empires of dirt, then there's a very strong case for that. However, if you do believe that these people that seem to control the world, the totalitarian dungeon masters, worship a certain set of systems of dogmatic practices, in their teachings they talk about actually telling the people what they're going to do before they do it, and then they can get away with it free and clear. So it's like, to them, they don't have karma, bad karma, if they tell us what they're going to do, whether it be subliminal programming in the movies or the conspiracy articles or forums on the internet, or articles that you read in Time Magazine or a TV show like, you know, Battlestar Galactica. Even if it's anywhere remotely close to what they're going to do, in their eyes, they think that since they're telling us about it, even though it's disguised as fiction and we don't do anything about it as a group consciousness, then they can get away with it scotch-free. And I would be more than happy to, you know, send you some linkages and information into why that could be a possibility, because it clearly seems like a lot of things that do happen, at least what we think happens. And let me talk to you, just go back for a second into the hypnosis things. I've seen with my own eyes people that have gone into deep levels of hypnosis and have completely different characteristics. I know people that have seen multiples and go into different personalities and literally seen like scars form on their arms and stuff like that. So there's a lot of physical evidence to these multi personalities and, people that have gone into these traumatic experiences. I know people that have worked in psych wards, that have talked to people that had multi personality syndrome. So, there is a lot of evidence to things like that, but, you know, I certainly agree if it's a document that it could be very well fabricated. But you still have, you know, in my eyes, I think you still have to have some type of pretext, you know, some type of base foundation to work with. Otherwise, you're just going to, you know, you're going to be in a chaos without order.
Well, you know, I agree totally with you when it comes to that. And that's pretty much what they've wanted us to be. And let me ask you, have you ever been hypnotized? I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I've been hypnotized.
You have, really? I have. They tried it on me and it didn't work. So I was just curious just to see what it felt like or anything, because I've never been able to. They've never been able to do it to me.
Let me ask you this: have you ever been driving in a car listening to a song and you missed your exit because you were jamming out?
Oh yeah, 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 absolutely. Okay, I've well, driven for miles and not remembered it.
Right
yeah.
there. That's a form of hypnosis, and they use these, you know, videos and movies and songs to get people into that alpha state. And like you said, that's where they can do the programming and the subliminal mind conditioning. So yeah, absolutely. And I've seen people that have been hypnotized that have been able to do stuff that would scare the hell out of you. I mean, just like X-Men kind of stuff. So it's an incredible phenomenon. And look for some physical evidence, I guess, towards some of these mind control scenarios and possibilities, because I think that would totally back up some of these actors that are out there that you're uncovering. And think about this too. You know, if there are these actors that are playing these certain parts, what if there's people above them that are really those positions? Like, you know, we look at David Rockefeller as like the front dark man, Lord from Star Wars. You know, the Sith, the Sylph, or whatever his name is. Not Darth Vader, but his boss. You know what I'm talking about.
Darth Maul or whatever. Darth Maul or whatever his name is. Yeah.
Then you look at the Pope of now, and the Pope looks just like the same guy, you know, from Star Wars. So you're like, wait, that played in the movie. So sometimes it seems like they just pick particular people to play particular positions because their facial makeup and their body resonates towards a particular archetype, and people can resonate with that. Have you ever thought about that possibility too? Like they pick certain people to look a certain way in a part, and it might not be the same person, but it's somebody that looks a lot like them.
Sure, absolutely. And like, you know, they use the naming convention, like we said before. You know, the theory is, like I said, that that's the way they communicate, and that their branches of their media assets know what the stories to push. But it could also be that that name is something that's a psychological trigger, where like Holly Bobo, you know, you recognize that name and it sticks in your head. So there's a psychological, you know, tag that goes with it that they automatically know it's going to be implanted in your head. So yeah, they have the psychology down. But here's the thing, and you made a really good point. If we don't have a base to go from, if we don't have that benchmark, how can we then move it forward? I agree totally, and here's the cool thing about what I've found. By finding those photographs and putting them out there for everybody else to see and for everybody to look at, and they can see these people are physical people, we can see the one person in particular, the Jill Rappaport, or her real name is Liz Harmon. We can see that her real life with her real husband and her real kids that she's had, you know, been married for the past 14 years, we can see all her family members. You know, Arden Vole is her niece, which we can see them going to the Hamptons, and there she's Jill Rappaport with Arden Vole, and that's her niece. But, of course, Arden keeps her same name, so she goes back and forth between the fantasy world and the real world, but keeps her same name, which is really interesting to think about. But when we look at Jill, she's Jill Rappaport on the Today Show. She has a ex-husband on the Today Show that she's going through this marital battle with a multi-million-dollar house in the Hamptons that her mother-in-law bought him. Well, in reality, the Liz Harmon person, who is the real person, has, you know, her, she's married, but it's to a different person. She's have, you know, when you look at the photographs, they have a great relationship, it looks like. They have a great family, you know, multiple kids. So you see this false reality that they put on TV that this actor then takes part of, and they continue that whole character even when she's not in role, when she's not there on Today Show. There's stories being written about that character in the news, talking about all this you know, the gossip going between her ex-husband and her, which is not true, but it paints it and makes this reality that people think it is. So what I'm trying to say is we've broken through that barrier that they have. Yes, they've created a false, you know, person, but they've also created other false people that supposedly discover those false people, like, you know, Benjamin Fulford. You know, he's supposed right. to be a person that's uncovering these people. So they create that dichotomy that you know, the both sides of the spectrum right there, when in reality they're neither. You know, the reality is they're just – it's totally different. So we've broken through that finally, that matrix wall basically, I like to say, that blocked us from being able to see the truth behind these people. And all of a sudden now they have no way to hide because they're real identities, and we're being able to track them down to, okay, this one's this person. He lives there, and here's a real person behind here. And all of a sudden that actor has to go, whoa, wait a second. Now they're going to be held accountable. And they're not liking that at all. So that's why they attack me instead of attacking the work, because if they attack the work, it brings attention to the work, and they don't want that. They want to attack me. So you know, right there is the first time that I can see that we really have made some big breakthroughs in this whole type of truther, or, you know, the reality behind the reality.
Right. It's certainly a very, very deep rabbit hole, and I wonder where it ends, man. I really do. Do you think that just your opinion here? Do you think that these people at the top levels consider themselves like gods, or do you think that they're more agnostic or atheists, or you know, they worship the sun god, or, you know, some people would call him Yahweh, or some people would call him Lucifer. I mean, there's so many different labels out there. What has your research led you to as far as their spiritual beliefs? Or do they just think that, you know, cause I know what I think, they do from my research, but, what's your opinion on that?
Okay. Well, this is going to be, of course, my speculation on it. And, you know,
yeah,
I don't
exactly.
Know
that's all
think.
I want.
Yeah. Well, if we look at how, you know, doctors get God simplex, you know, they believe that they're God because they are actually, you know, they're saving lives, and it can go to their head. And we also see, you know, police officers, anybody that's given a little bit of power, it depends on their psychology, but that power can go straight to their head, and they you know, think that they're in charge, they're in control over their individuals. When in actuality, I don't think any man is capable of being in a situation where they should be even controlling another man, you know, even though right now, since our society needs, you know, people that are managers, they need, you know, some to focus, because we've been so beat down and conditioned, you know, that's, we have to have that right now. But if it were a perfect world, if we think about it, you know, no person should really be any better than another person, and we should all be doing what we're supposed to be doing and respecting other people. So that would then take, you know, the need of, we wouldn't need anybody in control over us, because we'd all be doing the right thing. But when it comes to these individuals that are super rich, super powerful, I mean, I have some friends that, you know, they're mega rich. I mean, they're big time, up in the 100 millions. And, you know, they do things that I personally wouldn't do. You know, they think it's all right because they can get away with it, and they, you know, if they get caught, whatever. But, you know, it breaks down the morality of a person to, you know, it just really – you find out who you are when it comes to that, and you can basically do things if you choose to. And I think a lot of these individuals that are the huge, massively rich people do a lot of things that they choose to do for whatever reason it is, if it's spiritual or whatever. They know that what they're doing is hurting individuals when it comes down, trickles down to the bottom people. So by that thought, if they can't get what they want by legitimate or honest means, then they are a problem, and they have some type of, you know, whatever mental problem. Now, if they want to blame it on a god, or blame it on, you know, they're doing it because of they think that this is the right way to do it because their god tells them to, you know, that's a cop out to me. Honestly, anything that has to do with hurting other people is a cop out. You don't do those things. That's just not right. And by you blaming it on something, or blaming it on an association or a symbol or whatever, a group, that's just a coward hiding behind something. You're not being yourself. So, you know,
it's like using a straw man tactic right there, isn't it?
Yeah, you're putting your straw man up front, and, you know, if you were to strip that person down naked and stand him alongside of another naked person, which one is the CEO? You don't know. You really shouldn't be able to know. But, you know, that would kill them if they were stripped down of all their money and stripped down of all their possessions and everything, all their power, and had to be a real person. They would not know what to do. They would freak out because, you know, and I personally, I would love to be on that abandoned island, you know, that they lost somewhere and having to build my own fire and build my own. I would love that. That would be so peaceful to me. But for them, that would be an absolute nightmare. It would be crazy. So, you know, they've been corrupted, and they continue to be corrupted. And I don't see any solution to their corruption other than they just need to be removed of all that power.
Hey, speaking of lost, would you be a button pusher? Remember they have to. They got the bunker, and they have to push the button every 2 hours.
No, I miss it. I didn't watch.
Okay, I watched every single episode of Lost in like 60 days. I went on a Lost marathon, and that just awesome show. I thought you knew more about it because you used that comparison being on the Lost Island. One of the, yeah. So okay, well, sorry, I'm digressing here. Good series. Yeah,
no.
You know,
No, I mean, basically what you're saying is, you know, you make a good point. What if you were in a situation where in order to save, you know, 100 people, you had to push the button and kill 5 people, you know, would you do it? And, you know, it all breaks down to, you know, either way, you're screwed, it sucks, but, you know, would you do it? Does that make you any less of a person because you're saving more people, or, you know, and who are the 5 people? Do you get to pick who they are? There's, you know, the what-if scenarios can run the gamut, but, you know, when these people, they have the money where they can do good with it. You know, these people like the Rockefellers that built this country, you know, the Roosevelts, they built this country with the steel, the railroad, you know, they did these things that were pivotal and when it comes to the building of the United States. But for them to then turn on the United States and, you know, just stab it in the back, that what caused them to do that? Were they just that way from the beginning and, you know, sent over from the Queen and they had to, this is the plan, the game plan? You know, we didn't win the Revolutionary War. We thought we did, and they implanted their people as our presidents, you know, because a lot of them are, you know, they're loyal to the Queen. But, you know, it makes me wonder why these individuals with so much money don't do the right thing, because I would. But, you know, you obviously see Bill Gates isn't, you know, why? Why are they doing that?
Right. And, you know, as far as the foundation of our country and, you know, the way that we supposedly took it from the natives that were here previously, and you hear things about the government offering $100 or X amount of money per scalp of a native that they found and stuff. I mean, that's pretty disturbing. And then you also wonder, you know, well, did they really come here to get away from the Queen, or was this just a whole, you know, network to make it look like they're creating a free country for, you know, free of tyranny, and it turned into a one world system where they're trying to bring everybody into this one world government. So, you know, I think that we're getting to the top of the hour here, and we've got to go. But man, I'll tell you, Dallas, you're a great guy, man. I really like talking with you. I know I kind of poke fun sometimes on some of the comparisons that you make, but I really have seen a lot of uncoverings here, and everybody likes your work. Thanks for saving us tonight. I hope you can come back on here again sometime and talk with us. And you know,
yeah, he's going to come back. Yeah, 23. He's going to come back in the fall when we come back from vacation. He's going to be working on a couple of things for us. And Dallas, again, thanks a lot for saving us tonight. I really
thanks for having me, guys.
I owe you one.
No problem. I like talking to you guys. You guys are good people. So definitely anytime you need me.
You too, man.
All right.
You too.
Thanks a lot, dude.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Okay, folks, stand by. Pastor's on his way. We're going to cut the streams for a few minutes. We're going to set up, and we will be back. So just stand by.